Yeah. Could I turn that radio off?
I sure can.
Yeah, we just leave that right there if you want to. And,
turn it around a little bit.
I sure made a mess in your office.
It's usually worse than this, by far.
For the purposes of this tape, just to identify it. Sorry, I made a mess here, Mr. Doyle.
No.
I'm in Nome, Alaska, and I'm talking to Al Doyle, who's... What is your title? To get back to your title here, is airport manager or...
Well, yeah, it's airport manager or maintenance superintendent, whatever you want to call it. It's
are you the manager of the entire facility here for the state?
Yeah, for the state, yeah, as far as the state is concerned. Mm-hmm.
And what's the official name of this airport?
It's Nome Airfield.
I noticed over Kotzebue the other day, it's called the Ralph Wien.
That's right, Memorial.
Memorial.
That's right. As a matter of fact, I think Ralph Wien was killed in an accident back there years ago.
Have you lived in Nome all your life, or you?
Oh no, but I've been here for about 40 years.
40 years?
Yeah. Off and on, not all the time.
Well, that's from about 1934 then.
Yeah, actually before that a little bit. I was here before the fire. I was here in 1932, but then I didn't come back again until. Well, I came back in 33 too, but then I didn't come in again until 36, I think it was, or 35, in the spring of 35. I didn't come
in 35. Well, were you born in Alaska?
Oh, no, I was.
Born where?
I was born in Seattle. Mm-hmm.
And when you came to Nome, was Nome the first town you came to in Alaska?
Or no, I was in, actually, I think the first town I was in was Seldovia. Uh-huh. I came up with it when I was going to school, going to high school with some other people that were head of fishing industry. Mm-hmm. So I spent the summer in and out of Seldovia and Crab Bay and Latouche and various things. We got the fishing camps down on the coast.
What brought you to Nome? And what did you say, 32 was the first time you came?
I came up here with some friends of mine who were mining over at Council. And, their name was Glass. The Glass brothers is Clive Milford Glass. And they were mining.
What were they mining? Gold?
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was the only mineral that was mined all here at that time.
What did Nome look like in 1932? Somewhat like it does today? Or?
Well, no, it is quite different due to the fact that since the fire, of course, the main street has been widened out so much. And there were a lot less people here then than there were now. I'd suggest there were over about maybe 11 or 1200 people. Mm-hmm. Perhaps more, but I don't think so.
What do you estimate the population now? 2300 or somewhere in
there? Oh, I think it's a little more than that, perhaps. Probably 25, 26, 700.
Well, here, getting back to the airport, have you been involved in aviation most of your time in the Nome area, or?
No, I haven't. I took over as the maintenance superintendent here when the state took over the airports in '66, and it was. Due to the fact that I've been associated with the construction and mechanical work.
In other words, you had the qualifications to fill a job.
Apparently I must
have. You must have, Well, are there any of the early pilots who flew here when the aviation first came into the Nome area, are there any of them left now in this area?
Well,
John Cross, for example,
John, and Frank Whaley, whom you no doubt know.
Yes.
I see Frank occasionally, and by golly, most of the other fellows are gone. One who is not quite that early, but who is Bill Munns, of course, he's still around, and. And I was talking to Jack Jefford the other day. He was in here. He's still flying.
Jack Jefford?
Yes, he has an outfit out of. He's based in Anchorage now.
Oh, I see. But he used to fly in the Nome area.
Yes, uh-huh. He flew here for Hans Miro in the first place.
Who?
Hans Miro.
Hans Miro?
Yes, M-I-R-O-W, I believe is the way he was, 2 hours.
Did he have a flying service?
Oh, yes.
Hans Miro? Mm-hmm.
Yes. And before that, Hans used to fly for NAT, I believe it was, the Northern Air Transporter.
Was that out of Nome?
Mm-hmm.
Who was the owner or operator of NAT?
Well, there were a group of people, as I recall. I was I feel I used to be mind a little for a while over at council afterwards, and I can't think of his name this moment. But
it wasn't Ween.
No.
Alan Ween's operated out here. Noel Ween, Sig Ween.
And
they operated as Ween Airlines,
oh yes,
I guess.
Ween Airlines, as far as
yeah.
I remember.
When was the first time you met Noel Ween?
Well, it was probably right here in Nome. I don't remember just when, but he must have been when I first came around the country, mm-hmm. I suppose. In the first year or two, at least, didn't he? And then, of course, Sig I knew better due to the fact that he flew out of here. He was Ween Airlines
yeah.
here in Nome, he and the Lewis brothers. Now, there, incidentally, are a couple of men that you should talk to, and that's Charlie mm-hmm. and Harry Lewis. They were, when they were going to high school, they were associated with the Weens here.
Are they still here in Nome?
Definitely, yes. Mm-hmm. One of them, as a matter of fact, works for Alaska Airlines now.
I see.
And not sure we have. We have to introduce you to them.
Do they still fly actively?
Well, no. I think both those fellows have tickets, but
yeah.
they don't do anything that active. And of course, there's Willie Foster. He's another one that came, and I don't remember when. I think Willie came in about 36 or something like that.
Were you here during the war? When the
most
Russians
of the time.
Were,
oh yeah, very definitely. Yes.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, I was running the airport here.
Oh, were you?
Yeah. It was they called it roads and runways, I believe.
Roads and runways.
Yeah, I think that's what they called it.
Well, that was in the Territorial Department of Highways, then.
No, it wasn't. It was actually with the engineers, the Army.
Army engineers.
Yeah, that's right.
I see. So you worked for the U.S.
That's
Army
right.
engineers.
That's right. And there, of course, this was called Marks Air Base then, and it was
M-A-R-K-S?
M-A-R-K-S, that's right.
And that was named after whom?
Well, apparently, I really don't know who it was. It was somebody who was, I believe, a colonel in the Air Force, mm-hmm. or the Army Air Force at that time, of course. But must have been deceased at the time, as I recall. I don't really remember.
Mm-hmm. But you were operating the airport here at Nome then during that entire operation?
Almost all the time, yeah. I took over from other people, but I was associated with it all
yeah.
the time.
Mm-hmm.
And
well,
as you say, I've seen as many as 400 airplanes on this little airfield between here and what called the satellite field, which was out closer to Anvil Mountain.
Mm-hmm. At one time?
Yeah, all at one time, yeah. Due to weather, you see, they'd hold here sometimes. There'd be flock after flock of them, so they'd come
yeah.
in from Fairbanks, and then they'd sit here until
the weather cleared.
Until the weather was good enough to go on.
Well, what kind of aircraft were they principally?
Well, they were principally fighters. They were P-39s and P-63s and,
mm-hmm.
and A-20s, which is a fighter bomber, I believe, and then the well-known B-25s.
Mm-hmm.
And they were primarily what the aircraft were.
But by the time the aircraft got to Nome, they were piloted by Russian.
Oh, definitely, pilots. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Was it in Fairbanks with the Russian pilots?
I believe that they took over in Fairbanks,
yeah.
yes.
Do you know anybody else in this area who was associated with that in any way with that? I think in Fairbanks there are quite a few people around who are associated with that.
No doubt. Well, there probably are some here. I'd have to think for a moment.
Excuse me. It may come to you. It isn't that
important. No.
Well, let's get back to the airfield then was not paved, was it?
Oh, yes.
It was?
Oh, yes. And it was considerably wider than it is now. Mm-hmm. And, as a matter of fact, the Russians used to land on one side and be taxiing back on the other with the fighters. Ukraine operation, believe me.
Yeah.
But they were controlled. It was a control tower here at the time. And it's still on top of that that old virtual hangar that you can see from here. And they, you can see the top of it now, but at any rate, right?
That hangar I see right there, is that?
Yeah, that's right.
That's one from World War II days?
Oh, definitely. Yeah.
Well,
as a matter of fact, these other two
are. Yeah,
and this building that we're in was the fire station, the crash station.
Yeah.
At that time.
This one's painted, but I see that one over there is kind of weathered.
Yeah, it never has been painted up here. I guess I don't remember. Munns has painted the one that he has there now. Munns Northern.
And what about the other one that isn't painted?
That's under lease. I think Munns has that under lease.
I see.
That he just uses it as for aircraft storage.
Do you think they were built? Let's see. It must have been built about 42 or
43, probably 43? and 44, 43 mostly.
Yeah, so they're 30, 31 years old.
Yeah. This building, I'm sure, was built in 43. Maybe completed in 44, but I don't recall.
I talked with John Cross yesterday in Kotzebue a little bit about this. He wasn't involved with it, but he was an aviator in World War I.
That's right.
Uh-huh. And then he went back into active duty in World War II, but he wasn't directly involved in the transshipment of these aircraft to Russia.
I don't believe so. I think that...
He said he was involved with the cold weather testing under Gaffney.
And he was he was down in the Aleutians, I think.
Then he went down in the Aleutians, right. And he spent time in Elmendorf also.
No doubt.
So, and then retired out of the Army Air Corps as a lieutenant colonel.
Yes, that's correct. Mm-hmm.
But when the Russians would come in here and land, what was the procedure? Would they go fuel up immediately and then change pilots and take off? Providing the weather was good.
No, they didn't stay on the ground very long, this is true, when they came in. They were refueled, of course, and the same pilots stayed on them.
Kept them on.
Oh, yes.
Over
across. And I don't know what their procedure was for getting back, I know I've met several of them, and I'd see them more than once.
Mm-hmm.
They'd be, another go around. Apparently, they'd come around.
They would bypass Nome, probably.
Not very often, I think that.
Coming back, perhaps.
Oh, perhaps that was the that's no doubt. Oh, yes, they never stopped here on the way coming back. I'm sure of that, mm-hmm. But they did stop. Or I'd seen the same ones in other mm-hmm. words a couple of different times. And we had some, of course, some interpreters here. They were really some dandies.
How so?
Well, respectively, there was one guy, he wore a uniform, a Russian uniform all the time, but he wore an old, regular old-time hatch, you know.
Yeah.
Civilian hat.
He was Russian.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
But he, of course, talking, he was a great hand with the bottle, with the vodka or whatever. And he was here for pretty near a year, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
So he was really quite a character. But apparently did his job all right, but wouldn't have kept him on.
But as far as billeting the Russians when they came through, if they had to stay here for weather, and remain here till mm-hmm. the weather cleared to go on. Did they have barracks here for them, or they?
Yes, they did.
Yeah. To stay at a hotel?
No, they had the Russian barracks, so called. Mm-hmm. It was close to the terminal over mm-hmm. there, very close to the hangar, and
they had their own crews and kitchen help.
Oh yes, they had. As far as I can recall, why they They were self-contained there. They didn't. It was, well, of course they would go downtown, but then they occasionally. But normally, they stuck pretty close to their barracks, I recall.
Did any of them stay in Nome after the war?
No, not to my knowledge. I never. Yeah, they lost quite a few planes here, but that token, of course, they stayed. They had quite a few accidents. They didn't, either they weren't too familiar with the planes, or that they just didn't give a darn, one or the other. Because they flew in pretty tough weather sometimes,
yeah.
And they weren't accustomed, they weren't familiar with the country, of course.
Yeah. And, so they, was the weather over here on the West Coast, is it up and down or bad?
Well, in the winter time, of course, it's pretty variable already, like any place else, why they have a series of storms and bum weather, and these guys sometimes flew in front of fog, especially, which was, at that time they didn't have radar and this
right.
And there were so many other navigation aids that are common today that weren't there then, of course.
When they left Nome, where did they go? Where did they land in Siberia?
Well, frankly, I don't know. Apparently there were several places over there, and I've heard the names of the places, and some were currently in the news. There was one place I recall they were talking about having commercial air flights over there from here. And but I, right offhand, I don't remember the names of them. Apparently, there were several different places that could land.
Have you, since you've lived here so many years, have you ever flown over across the Bering Straits into Siberia?
No, I've flown over the top of Big Diomede, and that's about the size of it. And that was just by fluke, I guess you'd say. But I have been to Little Diomede, and of course it's only a short distance.
Isn't it about 3 miles to Big Diomede?
Something like that, 2.5, 3 miles. It's no different than any of the other part of the country from all appearances.
Well, I was just trying to recall, I don't have it in my head right now, but when Alson disappeared over there, were you in Nome?
No,
it was about 1930, I think.
Yeah, I think so, or 31 even. But I don't really recall. But I know it was still a topic of conversation.
Yeah.
Country.
Do you know Jim Hutchison in Fairbanks, an aircraft mechanic?
I believe I know the name. Yeah, I'm not. I can't put a face to it right at this moment.
I think he's 74 now.
Yeah.
And still working for Alaska
International. Oh yes, Air. Yes. I've not too sure. Though I don't know him well.
The reason I ask is that he was he went over and patched up Eielson's airplane in Siberia.
Mm-hmm.
Help catch it.
Maybe that's where I.
Yeah.
I'm sure I've met him right there.
Yeah.
Yeah, this aviation's really changed this country a great deal from what it used to be. It wasn't so common, although when I first came here, I could fly in, of course. Though the first time I came in, I came in by boat.
Yeah.
So, but now I, ships quit operating passengers just after the war.
Yeah. Alaska Steam.
Yeah, Alaska Steam had Columbia, I think, and a couple other vessels. However, for years they brought the freighters, but now, of course, it's all done by barge.
Yeah. I just saw the barge leave this morning.
Right,
Albro said it was the last one of the year.
I believe that's right, yes.
Pretty late in the season.
Not really. It's we didn't have too many this year, that's for sure.
You didn't?
No. But,
this town must consume an awful lot of beer, because yesterday I saw two different saloons downtown had a huge big
those big vans, yes.
And they were absolutely filled to the top with cases of beer and wine. And I don't know how many of them.
Yeah, it's apparently that's probably the understatement of the day when you say that they consume lots of beer. But there sure is. Well, in the wintertime, there's not too much to do, you know. Mm-hmm.
Has Nome always had a lot of storms since you've been here?
Well, they always have been a bunch of them. That was booze first came back in just when I came in here. Though I wasn't here at the time, they say after the fire, one of the first things ashore was part of a barge load of booze of some kind. I've forgotten how it worked. But I wasn't here at the time.
The fire, I'm not familiar with the story on the fire. Did that burn up most of the town?
Well, it burned the main part of which I suggest it's a business section. Mm-hmm. Then and now, and it went from down around Stedman Avenue and up as far as about C Street or D Street.
Mm-hmm. And there are some houses here in Nome that look to be really old.
Oh, there are. Yeah, they were there. So as I say, by that token, they didn't. It didn't burn the whole entire town, but it burned up most of the business section of it, and of course lots of houses too. But they widened out the street then, and the buildings there before weren't, they were really jammed together, and of course now it's getting the same thing again.
Mm-hmm. I was noticing
with all that. The acreage there is in Alaska, I don't know why people have to jam stuff together in this little town, but that seems to be the name of the game.
Disastrous fire wipe out quite a lot of it right now.
Oh, sure.
It got started. It's so the buildings are so close.
That's right. Yeah, there's still a lot of shacks that were here before the fire. You know, back a ways out of the path of the fire that are still here, and that token weather in pretty tough shape, really.
Well, right now, to get back to the airport here in Nome, do you have daily flights in here?
Yeah, sure. There's actually right as of now, Alaska has two flights a day in here.
Alaska Airlines does?
Yes, and Ween has one flight a day.
These are jets.
Jets. Mm-hmm. And then there are various bush operations, of course, that. Neither Alaska nor Weems have any bush operation on the Nome. As they used to have, of course, for years, but they discontinued it here.
Well, what operations are there here now?
Well, there's Foster Aviation, and it's really Foster that we mentioned earlier, and Munns Northern Airlines, though Munns himself doesn't fly here anymore. He is sold out to a fella by the name of Dick Gallagher, who has been operating here now for, I don't know, maybe 8 or 10 years, something like that. Maybe I'm wrong.
But it still goes under the name Munns.
It still goes under the name Munns, but it's Munns Northern. I believe Gallagher called himself Northern Air. Northern Air.
What was that, your World War II?
Yes, that's the old business cracking
is that,
there.
I was just kidding, but is it the same?
Same feeding same system,
feeding
yeah.
System.
I flush it out every once in a while.
What are you doing?
Yeah, during the summer and fill
it up. Well, is the airport here, does it serve as a kind of a hub for...
It is, yes.
For freight and mail?
Freight, mail, and passengers, of course.
There
are... most of these airstrips around the area, of course, are small and large planes can't get in. The St. Lawrence Island they can accommodate a good-sized aircraft over there, but Weens has a weekly flight over there with freight and passengers.
An F-27?
F-27 to Gamble and Swunga.
Wasn't it the Gamble where that Russian plane sat down?
Yes,
last
the other day, or the other month.
Did you go?
I didn't go over, no, but the fellow that Nazar works for us over there. Went to, I've had a first hand report from him on it, of course.
Do you, since you live on the West Coast here in Nome and Kotzebue, is there anybody in this area who speaks Russian who can act as an interpreter in cases like this?
Not to my knowledge. There isn't a soul that I know of here. In years past, there used to be people here that spoke Russian. A guy called him Russian Mike, and I think he came across on the ice in the early, right after the revolution. But he has since gone, of course. But to my knowledge, there isn't anyone here.
There are quite a few in larger cities, like in Fairbanks, I suppose if they had an emergency, they could.
That's what they do. The same thing if they have any problem with immigration, which would necessarily be the case. Mm-hmm. Where they send customs and immigration officers.
I was astounded at the look like state or federal people coming and going. There must be a terrific amount of back and forth.
Sure is. Well, of course, the BIA is pretty active over here. Due to the fact that there's such a large native population comparatively.
Does the BIA have a regional office here in Nome?
Yes, they do. I wouldn't hazard a guess at how many people work for the BIA, but there sure are quite a few of them.
Well, that seems to be a hazard all over.
That's true.
All over Alaska.
And of course, the FAA has a pretty good-sized installation here. And of course, the state has their various, the highway department and aviation. That's about it.
Have you ever participated in any air searches for downed aircraft here?
Oh, a time or two.
You want to interrupt us?
No.
I'm just asking about aviation.
As an observer, try to spot things, but not too often. I've done it a time or two.
Have you had any major crashes here at this airport? You know, like big aircraft?
No, not really. No, we've been very fortunate. And I keep my fingers crossed on that.
You know, it's amazing. I live on the hill back of the university there in Fairbanks, so I can see the airport and see the Hercs coming in and out.
Oh, yes,
they fly around the clock now. And the jets, and they just come and go and come and go. And no, we did have a fatal fatality Sunday in Fairbanks.
Yes, I understand you did. Yeah, was it 180 or?
I think it was a 180. Mm. Two Bechtel employees were headed up north. And
yes.
According to the witnesses, it gained altitude and then just nosed over to the left and went down and killed them instantly. Mm-hmm.
Stalled.
I don't know what happened. I don't know much about aviation. But killed them.
Yeah.
It's the first accident we've had. But the pilot was 19 or 20, so he was inexperienced probably.
Too much experience.
The good ones, yes. And you look at some like Sig Green who've flown in and out of everything and every possible weather. And Noel.
Yeah.
And then this John Cross I mentioned, you know, John is almost 80. It's going to be 80.
Yeah,
I think he's over 80.
No, he told me he was, I asked him his birthday. He said he was born on March 1st, 1895.
So well, he's 79 then, yeah.
That he'd make him 80 years old on the 1st of March.
That's correct.
Still
there's an old timer here, perhaps, that you would if you have an opportunity to talk to him, though he hasn't flown over here so much, but he's flown in Alaska, so I don't know for how long. And that's, his name is Vern Bookwalter.
Oh, I met him last year.
Oh, did you?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
He's quite an interesting guy to talk to, all right. He flew down around the Skagway country in Whitehorse, down in that area.
Mm-hmm.
But I think he had a mail contract here at one time.
I came over here last January with Senator Stevens when he visited Nome.
I know Ted Stevens.
Yeah, Well, good. I work for him part-time there in Fairbanks. I run his office in Fairbanks.
Oh, I didn't know.
And
that.
So I came over with him just helping on the trip. He met with the city council and the Native Regional Corporation, the Village Corporation, hospital people. Vern Bookwalter.
Bookwalter.
He was given a citation that night at the American Legion thing.
Right.
But there's a neighbor of mine in Fairbanks named Bon Davis. Do you know him?
Yes, I know him.
Well, he has tried to get Vern Bookwalter's history. Mm. He said he's very reticent about talking to anybody.
Yes.
So I thought, well, Mr. Davis has talked to him quite a bit and got some of his background. Mm. So I thought, well, if he's reluctant to talk to people, he'd be extra reluctant to talk to a woman. So.
Well, not really.
Only if you start talking about airplanes and.
Yeah.
Yeah, he'll really open up. Mm-hmm. Yes, he's quite a guy.
Does he still hold a pilot's license?
Mm-hmm. Yes, he has one of the very early pilot's licenses. Yeah. I've forgotten what the number is, but it's quite
two. 3 or 4 digits.
3 or 4 numbers only.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Bob Banky here, he does a little flying. And
no more.
No more?
No.
Oh, don't you? You don't? Well, I haven't seen you doing anything.
No more airplanes.
Huh?
No more airplanes.
Oh.
Restricted. My wife doesn't like me to fly, so.
Just keep your license current? Mm-hmm. I fly so much in small planes. Sometimes I'm in a small plane every once or twice a month. And go long trips sometimes. And I never have learned to fly, this winter I thought, I'd take some ground school, just some basic. Mm-hmm. I don't want to get a license and to be another Sunday pilot, but I'd like to learn the basic.
At least, yeah.
That's interesting. I one time I took flying lessons here from Frank Whaley in 1939. I think. Mm-hmm. A couple of other guys, but I didn't keep it up. I got a private, identified as a student.
Mm-hmm.
I never went ahead. So there were some of the other guys who did, but they were closed.
Yeah. Well, tell me about the tourists that come in here in the summer. You have a lot of them?
Oh my, I should say.
Are they all little old ladies? Or
well, not with tennis shoes, but
senior citizen types. Or?
I'd suggest you're right there. Yes, most of them are. Though
I've been saving up for years and years to make this trip.
Some of them are very interesting, and some of them, of course, are not.
Mm-hmm.
But they have a fellow by the name of Herb Engstrom runs has a mining operation out on Basin Creek, 10-12 miles out of Nome here, and they take them out there on the bus, they pan and give him coffee and donuts, I guess, and watch the operation. He has a small dredge there, the bucket line dredge.
What's this big dredge I see? Is it out here?
Yeah.
Is that a gold dredge?
Oh, yes. There are several of them here in the area, and they're going to start them up, I guess. There are two of them up next spring, I understand.
Who's they? What
well, that's the it used to be the USSR&M, which is the same thing as the FE company.
Yeah.
Now they call themselves, I believe, UV Industries. And the one dredge is over here at the end of the airport. Is I understand they're going to start that one up, and another one up at the base of Anvil Mountain, which is. Number 5 and 6.
Are there 2 dredges right here in this immediate vicinity?
There are 3. And some old hulls. You can see one right out the window here that is not work-wise anymore. But there are several old dredges that are not.
But there are a couple here that are in.
There are 3 that are in operational.
Is there?
Condition, or will be very naturally have to do a little rehabbing on them because they haven't been run now for several years. It's been about 10 years since they were shut down.
And it's gold, of course, will be dredging.
That is correct. Yeah, they've done a lot of preliminary work here this fall and the summer, rather. this entire
summer. Who heads up their operation here? Do
you know? Walt Glavinovich. Walt? Yes, you probably know Walt.
He's been in Fairbanks.
Oh, yes. He used to be here years ago, and then he's been in Fairbanks for the past several years. And I believe up at Hogwarts.
You know the old FE power plant there in Fairbanks?
Mm.
That's coming down.
Oh, is that so?
Monday, I think it was, I stopped and took another few pictures. Hmm. But they've been, some Indian tribe in a reservation in Oregon bought it.
Oh, for heaven's
sake.
They're
dismantling it, taking it down there and putting it back together.
Well, I'll be darned. To put in operation? Wow.
Yeah.
Well, I guess.
So it's been coming down in pieces, mm-hmm. and it's been so interesting.
That's
to watch,
kind of interesting, yeah.
Watch the thing come down gradually.
Yeah.
And not just being torn down. Mm-hmm. But that's quite an old landmark that's disappeared.
Indeed it is, yeah.
Mm-hmm. It was built in 1927, as I recall.
What about the old NC powerhouse?
Well, that's
the old steam plant. That's gone.
Yeah, it's been down, let's see. I'm gone. We're still up in 50... 51, I think. Might have gone down about 50.
I'm a little bit...
I think they took it down in 50, 51 or 50.
Oh, really? God, well, I knew it was down, of course, but then I didn't realize it was that...
or later, maybe.
Long ago.
I don't know, because...
No, it doesn't matter, anyway.
In the early 50s, I lived up at Barrow, so I just kind of missed out on what was really happening up...
What in the world were you doing in Barrow?
Well, my husband worked for Arctic Contract.
Oh, yes.
And he joined the Seabees in World War II, and they sent him back to New Jersey and made him an ensign.
Oh, yes.
He graduated from the University of Alaska and worked in mining engineering and mining. And, and he wanted to join the Seabee outfit going up to the Arctic.
Oh, yeah.
Because he'd had a lot of Arctic and
Alaskan
experience. So the Seabees made him ensign.
Yeah.
An ensign.
Yeah.
And they sent him to Dutch Harbor.
Yeah.
Then they promoted him to lieutenant and sent him to Hawaii, and he figured he was getting farther and farther away from the Arctic, so he got out as fast as he could.
Well, sure.
Then he went to Barrow in 46 as a civilian.
Oh, yeah.
And the Seabees went in up there in 1944. That's when they landed, August of 44, with their drill rigs and tractors.
Oh, sure. I recall
and
that.
Then,
now,
so yeah. Jim went up there in 46, and then I met him in Fairbanks in 49, and we were married up at Barrow in 50.
Yeah.
So next year will be our 25th wedding anniversary, so we're going to have a big potlatch up at Barrow.
Well, by God, that'll really be interesting.
So all the people we bump into who came to our wedding in 50, we're going to have a party up there next August. Come on up.
Right.
You buy your own airplane ticket. Yeah. It's about $145 bucks around here.
Is it?
From Fairbanks to Barrow.
It's probably more from here, I don't know. You can't get there from here, if you know what I mean. Here from there.
Yeah.
Anymore. Weens used to have a flight in the summer with an old C-47 or a DC-3 that went from here to...
They had a 46 too,
yeah. And a 46.
Yeah. Yeah. Say, that reminds me of that area. Archie Ferguson. Did you know Archie?
Oh, yes, I can say I did.
He's one character I wished I had met.
I'll tell you an interesting thing. I was up, this was during the war, I was up at Davidson's Landing, and the Army had a camp there, but there was lots of equipment up there at the time. That's the reason I was up there.
Is that near Kotzebue?
No, it's near Teller than any place. And I wanted to go, I was waiting for a military plane to come in to go down to Point Spencer, which is where the Coast Guard station is there now, it's called Port Clarence. But the Army built an airstrip there, you know, to accommodate B-29s.
Mm-hmm.
It was about 12,000 feet. It was all matting. Well, this was just after the war. That's what it was. And we're moving that equipment out up there. That's the reason I was there now, I recall. And Archie wanted to go down to Point Spencer, and he didn't have a permit to land there unless, and he figured if he took me down there, that would give you an in. But she did, and by George, we got up, and we got about, there's still lots of snow on the ground, we got about 60 or 70 feet, and he had no, as he called them, a sesson. And the thing caught on fire. Well, he was hollering at me to be calm, and I was a darn scared. There was no way that I was saying anything. I was very quiet. I was trying to trip the seat to slide it back to bail out of the thing, really, because there's lots of snow on the ground.
Yeah.
And we weren't all that high. But you couldn't see anything in the cabin. And he finally got a window open. And he got her down again. Got her on the down on the ground and snow, and we were on skis, of course. And so I reached under there. What occurred was the radio had shorted out. And
oh.
Thing normally didn't work anyway, but
this...
And so we jerked out about $40 worth of wiring out of it, and that was, and took off again, went down there, and the wind was blowing so darn hard he couldn't get out of the airplane. It wasn't his day at all.
Yeah.
I'm sure he wanted to kind of take a survey of things. Yes, sir.
So what'd you do? Just turn around and go back?
No, I got out of the aircraft, and he actually almost had to fly it on the ground.
Mm-hmm.
And so he, that took me. Took off again, and before he went out.
Well, did he run a bush service out of Cotsby?
Oh yes, for years and years. Yeah, he's quite an Archie, that fellow. I knew his brother Warren too, who went through the ice up there. And,
I understand he drowned.
He did, yeah. And I think it was 37, maybe 37 mm-hmm. or 38, something like that. But they used to come down here. They had an office in the old Board of Trade
saloon.
Yeah,
that was a good place for an
Wait a minute. No, it wasn't the Board of Trade. It was in the the Nevada, which is no. That was a saloon too, but it's no longer there. It's where perhaps you've noticed the movie house is there now.
Mm-hmm.
That was that has been a saloon there for years.
Well, he had some real exploits in his history.
Oh, boy, I should
say. You know,
say.
Has anyone done a historical thing on Ferguson?
I believe so. What was that, Jean Potter?
Mm-hmm.
She at least gave him mention, had a pair or a chapter, I think, on her.
Flying North, is that?
Well, yeah, whatever it was. I forgot what the name of the thing was now. I know I have a copy of it. But she did at least a part of a chapter on his operation there, which was really something.
I guess. We used to get snatches of Archie when we were at Barrow through this little newspaper they published. Was that Gene Joyner's paper?
Right, Gene had the...
he put some stuff in there.
Ptarmigan Telegram Tundra...
Telegraph?
Something like that. I forgot. That's really a collector's item, paper.
Do you have any of them?
No, unfortunately I don't, and I sure wish I did, because I remember he was forever panning the CAB and the CAA at that time it was.
Yeah.
But Gene still flies. I see him. He and I I never failed to stop to see him when I'm in passenger.
Yeah, I didn't have time. I don't know him, but and just meet him, but I didn't have time, and it was kind of brash of me to walk up and say, hello, I want to meet you, so I just didn't do it.
You know, though my wife was born in this country, she had never been in Kotzebue.
Mm-hmm.
And one time we had been over in Fairbanks, coming back, and we understood that we were going to be on the ground a little bit. So I said, Gene was on the plane, he was sitting up forward, and I said to Betty, I said, I see Gene here, I'll go up. He has an old Jeep there, and it's no doubt down at the airfield.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty cold. So maybe the thing will start, and maybe I'll get him to take us on give you the cook's tour around.
Around the Kotzebue.
Right.
Yeah.
And so I went up and talked to Gene. He said, well, he said, no, he said, I don't have a Jeep. He said, but I have a Cadillac.
Holy smokes.
And by George, he did. Mm-hmm. He had a Cadillac. Four-door sedan, no less. Right. Well, we had a little trouble getting the thing started, but at any rate, Betty talked about that. She thought it was the greatest thing since the wheel.
Holy smoke.
There's two of them up there now, made of wall chains.
Is that?
But no, at any rate, he took us.
Johnson.
Yeah. Oh yes, used to be
RCA up there.
I see.
He used Cadillac.
Gee, one thing that strikes me about Nome right now, there seem to be
I never saw anything like it. Everybody in town, including me, must have at least two.
Yeah.
There's more automobiles than people now.
I'm of that firm opinion.
I would bet that's a true
story. I'm sure that's true.
4 years ago, 5 years ago, it wasn't this way. All of a sudden, it's just a big boom, especially four-wheel drive.
They have a Department of Revenue down there on that main street. Mm-hmm. Maybe they'd have a listing of all of them.
Well, I'm sure they would have. Sure.
That'd be interesting.
That's the fellow that runs that is Stan Anderson. He was born right here in Nome.
Hmm. Did Archie ever fly into the ground or crack up an airplane in this area?
Oh, well, I don't think he ever did right here.
Not here.
But he
dinged up a few, huh?
That is true, yes.
Well, where'd he learn to fly? Just watching.
I think he taught himself, like the Wright boys, I guess.
Yeah. Self-taught, I guess.
Yeah. Yes, sir. As I say, that was the only time I was ever in an airplane with him. I always declared I'd never get in one, in a plane with Archie. But and of course we had this fire, etc., etc. So I've never been in one since. And of course now he's a poor old Archie. He's cashed in.
Well, he didn't die in an airplane crash.
No, he didn't. Mm-hmm. I think he slipped on a banana peel or something.
He got pretty well aged before he.
Yeah, he wasn't exactly a boy scout, no.
Over in Cantwell, I guess, mining.
Yeah, he was mining.
Is that right?
And then the feds come after him. But most of the stuff away.
Yeah, he was gold mining, wasn't he?
Oh, yes. Yeah, he was right on Candle Creek. I was over there where they had that operation going. Mm-hmm. He was associated, I believe, with Jack Bullock, wasn't he?
I think so.
Yeah. Is Jack Bullock in this area, or is he in...
Used to be.
But he sold out his interest in
the
B&R
a long
time
ago. Oh, yes. Years ago. He, I believe, if I recall correctly, he turned it over to Eel. But he hasn't been around this area, although now he's down. I saw him a couple of years ago in St. Michael's.
Does he have that black navigation?
He's associated, I believe, with the Utana, I think they call them so.
Utana Barge.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He is.
What about the North Star? Does it stop in here?
Oh, yes, but I don't think they discharge too much cargo here, if any. You know, I'm not sure about that. But they make most of the villages up and down the coast. Mm-hmm. I know that over at St. Lawrence Island, they're in a gambling
scene. Yeah. They used to come to Barrow every September.
Oh, yes.
I think they're on their way up there now, aren't they? Or on their way back?
I really don't know.
They're unloading now up the coast somewhere.
Yeah, I've seen them up to Shishmaref and Wales.
But you have commercial sea service service here.
Yeah, that's B&R, B&R has a barge service out of here, local, and there's Foss and Northern Northland Marine, and that's about the size of it, isn't it?
When does the ice break up enough here to get in by ship in the spring or summer? Maybe it's summer, I don't know.
Well, it's usually June before any ships come in.
Mm-hmm.
I've never known of any since I've been here coming in from before they got gotten in maybe as early as the 5th of June, mm-hmm. or the 10th, but that's unusual too.
Is the ice pretty well solid here in the winter? Or does
oh,
it?
Yes. Yeah.
I thought so.
Yeah. Yes, you can go out quite a ways. And of course, there are fissures and open leads.
Yeah.
You know, it's constantly shifting and opening up and closing and so on and so on.
But you have shore ice.
The shore ice is pretty well anchored, and it stays, of course, until the spring breakup. But it's pretty darn solid. I know we were drilling off the ice a few years ago, and we were out over a mile, but it was really, really stable.
Prospect drilling?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Is there any oil exploration going on in this area now?
No, I understand there's some up out of the Kotzebue, yeah. Over at, I believe it's Espenberg, or, yes.
Espenberg?
Cape Espenberg. Is it Espenberg on this side?
Yes. Yes. Mm-hmm. On the north.
Yeah.
North end of the Seward Peninsula.
The airport there at Kotzebue seems so terribly busy, and people coming and going. And
yeah, there's an awful lot of activity up there. Yeah.
And you couldn't get a long distance telephone line. And
well, you generally can't out of Kotzebue.
It's, yes. It's not too much different here. Mm-hmm.
That's a real bad telephone service up there.
But some of the people there were telling me that there was some oil exploration going on. That yes. Must be for the Native Corporation.
Yes, and with I think it's a joint venture with that and the Standard Oil Company, mm-hmm. I understand.
I know they've been doing a little of that up in the Arctic, where they made some sort of a legal arrangement with agreement with the Native
Corporation.
Regional Corporation mm-hmm. to go in and explore for oil and probably get the drilling rights from them for.
Right. Yeah, I own some of this land offshore, this offshore land. And Shell Oil Company came up with the preliminary drilling mm-hmm. and then they in turn turned it over to American Spunning and found that they're still.
Was it a gold prospect? Or
yes, it was a gold prospect.
Mm-hmm. Have you ever actively mined?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes.
Yeah, I thought so. Right here in this.
Yeah, over at Council, I mined over there for mm-hmm. several years. And if this thing would really stabilize, I'd go right back at her.
You maintain your gold property? Somewhere?
Yes, I still own some property there. But it takes a darn much money, you know, to get operational again.
Right.
It might be worth it, it might not.
Is there a lot of activity in gold mining? I mean, a lot of...
Well, surprisingly enough, there isn't as much as you'd think. There's a few jippo or small outfits that are
sniping away.
Sniping around and doing a little prospecting and so forth, but there's no... the only continuous operation that over around the area that I used to mine is a fellow by the name of Peterson, and he is, he'd been in constant operation ever since after the war. He took over the old Lohman property over there.
I see.
And,
do you know the Lohmans?
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I knew. Of course, Ralph Lohman's the only one, the brothers, I guess, that has left.
No, it's Al. Well, Ralph is the
Uncle of it. Yes, that's right. Fairbanks. As a matter of fact, he was going to come over to join the pioneers over here the other day. He and my wife's brother and
from Fairbanks?
From Fairbanks.
What's your wife's brother's name?
Oss, Colonel Oss. I don't know.
Oh, Lincoln Oss? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's your wife's brother.
Yeah. Well, my wife is died 2 years ago, a year and a half ago, a little over. Mm-hmm. But at any rate,
they didn't come over.
No, and there was one other guy who came over. Mm-hmm. What's that? Well, I went to the meeting, I know, but I can't remember who it was.
I was thinking of him this morning. I know Al Lohman.
Al Lohman was one, and Link, and who else was he?
But Mrs. Lohman came up here. His Al's wife, Mary Elizabeth Lohman, came here in 1944 during the war. Mm-hmm. He was stationed here, and she came here.
Yeah, I met her.
I tried to get her to join the pioneers in Fairbanks.
Oh,
and she said, no, they want to join in Nome.
Right, yeah.
So,
that's,
the pioneers will have their state convention here next year mm-hmm. in Nome. Mm-hmm. So watch out.
Right. Great.
Have you been to Pioneer Convention?
Oh, yes. As a matter of fact, I was running into the last time I went to one was in Fairbanks.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Had a great time. We were out there at the
Alaska Land.
Alaska Land.
Yeah. Well, I was talking with Grace and Axel Edmund.
Oh, yes.
Axel will become the
great president. Right. I'm going to go down to the
Sitka Convention.
Yeah.
Oh, good.
Well, I think somebody should go from here to kind of support Axel.
But that's really going to be an undertaking. But, oh, they're fun. I've been to the last three or four conventions. They're more fun. Yeah. People think when the pioneers are coming to town, it's just a bunch of old fogies, but they have more fun than
fogies. You said it. I know the convention that was here. When was that?
Well, we were just talking about that last night, and Grace looked it up. It was there was one here in 59 and one in 68.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
They've had two here.
Right.
Because I stopped by there with Alboro Gregory, and Alboro and I had been over across the street from his, you know, his paper over at his other office.
The Breakers. Agreed. Yeah.
Saloon or bar, whatever it is.
Home away from home.
And the fellow runs that place. His name is Tom Reardon. He was saying, "Well, the pioneers have been here four times." He said, "I've been here for 20 years, and they've had four conventions here." And we told him he was full of baloney, so then we had to go look it up to make sure that we...
He's right. You were right. He's full of baloney.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if he is or not.
Oh, no, he's all right, but then he sort of was mistaken there. Yeah, they had... I was a member in 59, I was naturally attending the other one.
Yeah. Well, your wife, was she born in Council?
No, she was born in Golovin.
Mm-hmm. How about Lincoln Oss? Was he born there?
Lincoln was born there also.
Yeah.
No, he was born in Elam, perhaps.
Mm-hmm.
Because he is just a couple of years younger than Betty.
Mm-hmm. Now, that surprised me, because when I first met him, he was commanding officer at Fort Wainwright.
Right, yeah.
And then he told me that I saw him at a pioneer meeting.
Yes.
And he said, "Well, I was born in Alaska, and I remember the pioneers." It just really surprised me. And when he retired, he came back, and I think he retired here, but he's...
That's right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's...
Well, I think I better...
Quite a link.
Let you get back. Hello.